You know, when we look back at the scholarly literature over the past couple decades in biomedical technology, nanoscience, nanomaterials, and we can see this government-funded industry has a fairly long history, dating back at least two decades. I've gone back and looked at the research. And I can see about 2000, 2001, there seemed to be an official interest from government agencies to begin researching nanomaterials, nanoscience. Nowadays, it appears as though many people are starting to talk about nanomaterials. It seems to be a topic of polite conversation, also a topic of real concern for people. I was shocked, in fact, when I started looking at the literature carefully, and how the literature intersects with other literatures in emerging technologies and biomedical research. So, from your perspective as a medical professional, what are your main concerns as you've become more aware of the nanomaterials or the nanostructures and their observed self-assembly in vitro?
So this is a very new phenomenon that I've become aware of, particularly in regards to the rollout of the C19 injectables. And so I had to study a tremendous amount. I've already been a chelation practitioner, so I detoxify people from heavy metals. But for example, learning that nano-sized metals are more toxic than larger metals or micro-size was news to me. And so this is something where the medical field, and I as a medical practitioner, I had to evolve and start reading more and learning more about, you know, engineering and material sciences and what's really the new thing. And now that I've been researching with my colleagues the vial contents, looking at David Nixon's work and Matt Taylor, and we've been very closely collaborating. And then, you know, seeing what has happened in live blood analysis in my patients, I have grave concerns because, number one, the issue is that the information isn't forthcoming. And so for me as a physician to really know what are the dangers, what are all the substances in the vials, what are the things that I need to be aware of to come up with the most comprehensive treatment plan for the patients who have, for example, vaccine injury, who don't have any type of symptoms, who are vaccinated, but also those who are unvaccinated, who now have complaints of long COVID shedding, etc. So these structures that were seen in the vials, which were part of these ribbons, we are now seeing them in live blood in both vaccinated and the unvaccinated people because there's a bombardment of these graphene oxide and other structures, possibly hydrogel, we don't really know, that are affecting and contaminating the blood and causing a picture of accelerated aging in humanity. And this is something that across the board, my colleagues around the world are agreeing with me that there definitely in the last couple of years has been an accelerated aging process. Even in 30 and 40 year olds, they're complaining about symptoms like brain fog, dementia-like symptoms that have never been there. So I'm extremely concerned. I want answers. I want more transparency in research, more attention in the mainstream to discuss these dangers. Obviously, I want the rollout of the injectables to be halted because clearly we've shown that there is toxic materials in them. So there is a lot of concerns for me as a clinician on what this all means and what we need to do about it as a society and as humanity.
As I've been looking over the literature over the past 2 years, since I've become kind of interested in the narrative, the way that the story of COVID-19 is framed in the public discourse by the corporate media, I've noticed as I've dug more deeply into the literature, the new terms associated with, say, something we're all familiar with, right? The internet. And the more deeply my co-author and I have dug into the literature, we begin seeing interesting new terms referring to other varieties of the internet that are evidently being constructed right before our eyes. For example, the Internet of Things, I think a lot of people know about that already. That's become, I think, more commonplace. The Internet of Bodies was a new one to me. And the more deeply we dug into the material science literature, we began seeing the Internet of Nano Things and then the Internet of Bio Nano Things. So the scientific literature, it seems to show quite clearly some of the things that Yuval Harari has been talking about over the past, say, 5 or 6 years. He seems to have come out more and more frequently to talk about, especially after the COVID-19 story came out, discussing surveillance under the skin and the fact that, humans are now hackable animals. I find the convergence of the literature and the comments that are made by people like him to be quite shocking, to say the very least. But what's your take on what you're seeing, as well as what you're seeing in the discourse and also what you're seeing in the laboratory? Do you find some convergence in the body and in the literature? Does the literature seem to explain what we are looking at now?
I do think that it does, and in fact, it provides the background information to understand what is going on. So, the World Economic Forum, this transhumanist agenda to enslave humanity and to create cyborgs, to create consumers without conscience. This is a quote from Yuval Harari, to say that the soul and the spirit are a thing of the past and that this is the last generation of humanity. I take this very, very seriously, and here's why. Because we have noticed that these people who own the planet are advertising what they're doing ahead of time, and it's their script, and they're doing it step by step, hence lockstep. It's literally a hive mind. And the concern is that the programming of mass consciousness through the introduction of language is very, very targeted, and literally the language and the concepts are used as weapons of mind control. This is a warfare that occurs on the mind level, because as they are manipulating perceptions, and they're now saying that, the heart is a machine, and all of these different references to the divine human body as just an automaton, a robot that can be discarded, that can be dismissed. That's very, very dangerous. It is a similar strategy that was used in Nazi Germany to dehumanize humans and to stigmatize them. We've seen this, the anti-vaxxer being stigmatized, and then, this very diabolic transgender narrative that's occurring. So what is in the vials if we we now look at microchips, as David Nixon just found, that they're actually emitting MAC addresses. This is consistent with what researchers have found around the world, that the injected people are emitting MAC addresses. So that means that they're already a sender and receiver, and that they can also be mind controlled. I'm very concerned about the technology underneath this, because the Black Project, even declassified information that discusses that the Department of Defense has had very advanced technology given to them, and these kinds of things in regards to the context that it's a transformation of society, a transformation of humanity, an attack on everything that we think a human being is, and we now see the evidence in the vials, and this has been injected into 5.3 billion people. I'm concerned that this is a weapon that can be turned on via 5G, and I'm very concerned about events, for example, in Seoul, where at Halloween, people were dying with cardiac arrest, this died suddenly phenomenon. This again ties into the transhumanist agenda of depopulation. So we're looking at a complex picture. Sure, but the canvas is painted for us. It's laid out for us. This is dangerous. And as clinicians, as frontline physicians, as people are speaking out, if you don't put what you're seeing in the context of the deceptive transhumanist agenda, you're not understanding the war. And you're misinforming people because you're believing some narrative. I wouldn't believe a thing. Everything has been deception.
At this point, the global experiment with these injectables, it seems in some ways to be clandestine, and it shows no signs of coming to an official end. What impact would you like to see in the medical community addressing those who have already been uploaded with these platforms or who have been injured by them?
So I think that as scientists and physicians, we need to broaden our view. And again, what I said earlier, question everything. The medical journals have been utilized for misinformation. Even the editors of big medical journals are saying up to 70% of what's being published isn't even real. It's fake news. You know, Marcia Angel, the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, said this. And yet you have so many clinicians who are following this narrative of the FDA, of the CDC, who we have over and over shown are corrupt, they are lying, they're deceiving people, you know, they're providing guidances that are make no sense, like 6 feet of social distancing, like masking for asymptomatic people. They are still using a PCR test that was already discredited last December, and they continue to use these tests with, you know, very high cycle threshold. So you can see again this deception. So the problem with the medical establishment is that because doctors are afraid to lose their license and to speak up, they go along with a false narrative, and they are actually to blame for much of the damage to humanity that has happened because they have not taken into account their oath, their Hippocratic oath, oath to do no harm, and the Code of Nuremberg to give informed consent and to never engage in medical experimentation without letting people know what is going on. No clinician was able to give informed consent about these C19 injectables because the insert was blank. There was no information about what was actually in there. And so the problem then is to take serious what we are finding in regards to these injectables. That's a completely different treatment plan because we have to undo a ticking time bomb that might be Wi-Fi activated. These microchips are sensitive to 5G EMF radiation. We have contaminations, what is what they're calling. I call it poisoning, with many heavy metals that were found in the vials, like aluminum, strontium, tellurium, radioactive cesium, gadolinium. So those alone are toxic to humans. They need to be detoxified. One way of doing that is with a molecule called EDTA chelation therapy that also has been shown to help dissolve the hydrogel. Humic and fulvic acid can be helpful. Other things like nitric oxide support, so your microbiome is able to detoxify these things. But what we have, we need to have a massive amount of research of different clinicians who use microscopes, like myself, in terms of live blood analysis, who verify that something is working and what it does to the blood, what are our results. If that isn't happening, and it's not happening fast enough because the mortality rates continue to skyrocket, we need to act fast and we need to know and find out what to do. We've found in many, many vials that there was no mRNA, no phosphorus or nitrogen, which means that there was no living molecule of life, only lipid nanoparticles, which Szymon Janowicz showed that these were the encapsulation for these microtechnology to actually grow out of. So you have to change the vaccine injury protocol, because if there's no mRNA, that means there's no spike protein, and you have to address a different type of toxicity. If these doctors don't even want to know, and all they do is dismiss live blood analysis, dismiss our findings regardless of the meticulous research that we've done, that's a real problem. And they continue to actually be accountable for the fact that they don't want to look. You cannot find what you're not looking for. So I would suggest that the medical and scientific community needs to open their minds and need to put the patient first again. Remember the Nuremberg Code. Remember the Hippocratic Oath, and start being scientists again. So before they throw out anything saying, oh, this is just too science fiction, take a look and then you can speak.
That covers... Yeah, that definitely covers the Hippocratic Oath well, and Nuremberg. It seems like so many people today have erased the memory of history of what came out of Nuremberg. I think that many people see that the sudden invention or the attempt to normalize new euphemisms, such as sudden adult death syndrome, that kind of reminded me a bit of SIDS. This attempt to make normal these new euphemisms seems like an attempt to cover up malpractice. Do you have any thoughts about the new language that is coming into the fore that seems to be describing or seems to be obscuring what's actually happening in real life?
Again, I think it's a form of warfare. And the reason is this. Former vaccines were stopped when there were like 25 deaths. And now we have, with a corrupt VAERS system, we have tens of thousands of deaths and millions of injuries. And to normalize that, that the governmental agencies who are supposed to protect society are inactive and they're actually contributing to this genocide, is just horrific. And what we've seen is that there was a complete lack of any type of outrage or outcry. I mean, there's 30,000 Americans that are dead or more, and nobody is outraged, and people have been injured, and there are all kinds of components in these shots that shouldn't be there. And yet, you know, we don't have mass demonstrations. We don't have, nobody is really standing up to fight this corruption that is on all levels of government, big pharma, etc. So instead, what we get is this brainwashing of sudden adult destiny that's everything except the vaccine, which isn't a vaccine, it's a weapon. So I think it's very, very dangerous. It is contributing to the societal programming and this numbing. And one of the things that I absolutely subscribe to is that whatever this COVID-19 was, it appears to me in live blood analysis that even the unvaccinated have the same structures, which are graphene-based, and which is a neurotoxin. It causes prion disease in the brain. It in itself can be a sender and receiver. It can cause many types of accelerated aging processes. So is this toxicity of long COVID contributing to dulling down the response of the overall population? Because if you're so tired that you can't even think straight, you're not going to really care about either stolen election or genocide or anything like this. So to me, there's a component to this poisoning of the entire human species, and that this is part of the warfare, and that people need to be aware of it, and that we need to stand up and fight back no matter what. So I'm very, very concerned about this. I think that, again, language is used as a weapon, as a programming of society in ways that we should not accept.
Given the most recent studies of the vials, what are some other key considerations you feel are important to share with people?
So I do think, as I mentioned earlier, that looking live at the blood with dark field microscopy is extremely important. And I'll explain why. So I'm a clinician, you know, I look at blood work. I even have different technologies in my office. Like I check brainwave activity and autonomic nervous system function tests. Before I looked at people's live blood, I didn't know that there were people who are in their 30s and 40s and 50s who are asymptomatic, who had these long ribbon-like structures in their blood with rural formation. So what that means is that they may develop illness and overall decline in a much more rapid fashion than I wasn't aware of. And so this is very, very important. I use the D-dimer test as well, but it's not as sensitive. You can see microclotting on a finger prick live blood analysis. And then, like I said, so I'm a certified chelation practitioner. I pull out these metals, and what I'm seeing is an increase in toxicity from chemtrails. People who never had uranium now have uranium in their blood. It's one of the things that's being sprayed. So we have aluminum, barium. All of those metals are highly toxic. They're contributing to what's called mitochondrial dysfunction. Mitochondria are the powers of your cells. And if they're not working right, all diseases of aging can happen. And so it's very important to nutritionally optimize people to live as clean as possible, eat organic, to do detox, for example, through things like sauna, ionic foot baths, you know, medically find somebody who maybe does EDTA chelation. I think that's very important. Nutritionally optimize, make sure you take adequate vitamin C, vitamin D, all of these things, and actually check what you are deficient in. So working with clinicians who are maybe more naturopathic or integrative oriented, because a lot of allopathic doctors have no clue. And now, for example, there was just a study from Poland. A doctor came forward who tested all kinds of medical supply, and 7 out of 8 had graphene in them, including insulin, including heparin, including all vaccines that she tested. So Matt Taylor looked at masks, that they had graphene in them. So it's being inhaled in the nasal swabs. It's in rainwater. So humanity is being bombarded from every which way. So every human being who wants to survive this war has to detoxify, nutritionally up. Optimized. Don't drink city water. They put all kinds of stuff in that. Bottled water may also not be safe. Baby food, all processed food. This is war. And we need to be aware of that. You know, take a magnet to the meat section of your supermarket, because there are people who have found that the meat is magnetic. Why? Because the animals, even organic beef, is being injected with mRNA vaccines who have graphene in them. So there's a lot to consider. This is, you know, we need to fight geoengineering. We need to stop these chemtrail sprayings. You know, we have to fight on all fronts to regain our health and to stop this depopulation effort that is all about poisoning humans, making them sick, making them die early, and making them unable to function and really process information because their brain is so toxic.
What would you say to those who would challenge the claim that there's a connection between the so-called chemtrails and what you're finding in the blood?
Look at the research. This geoengineering.org, you know, they've done a lot of atmospheric research. There have been governmental whistleblowers who clearly have said, yes, you know, the government is spraying humans with all of these things. They're spraying mycoplasma. They have graphene oxide in jet fuel engines, and we're inhaling this. And so I can show, for example, I had a case where I did a heavy metal urine test after chelation just to get a baseline. The barium level was 3.8. We did 20 chelations twice a week, and the barium level came up at 84. The only way that you would get barium outside of a barium enema, if this person didn't get, is if you're inhaling it. And the chemtrail activity was off the charts. So we are being poisoned. And I just say, wake up, world. And to all of these scientists, you know, who don't want to know about what's in the shots, who all they're concerned about is their paycheck and, you know, their reputation, while the survival of the human species is at stake, I wouldn't listen to them. It's like, if you're not open-minded enough to look at the facts and understand that we're in a war, then you're already outdated. You're no longer an expert.